something or another. Anybody, right quick, before we read the scripture. Glory. Amen. That's good. Anybody else?
Chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. I know that that we ought to stand for the Lord in 1987. A Christian ought not to be a smart aleck, but there's a time when we ought to stand. And we have our Constitution. We'll be celebrating its 200th anniversary this year. They've been talking about it. And they're doing a lot of things for the... It's the, as far as I know, what they said on the radio the other day, the oldest Constitution in existence. I believe that's what they said. And it's celebrating its 200th anniversary. And while we still got that old Constitution here in the United States and still have at least some of our civil rights left, and our freedom, we ought to take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, if we lose that freedom, we still ought to stand. But especially now, while we have such a freedom and our Constitution will back us up, there's battles being fought all over the country this morning because of public schools discriminating against children who are Christians. And it's happening right here in McDowell County. I'm not going to preach on that this morning, but it's time that we as parents, and we took a stand for the Lord and the right, and stand for what God would have us to stand for. I want to read one verse of Scripture this morning. In Genesis 18, Abraham there is praying, and the Lord's getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis chapter 19, burn those wicked cities, and the Lord told Abraham he's going to do it, and Abraham's trying to argue the Lord into sparing the city because his nephew Lot is down in Sodom. And he asked a question here that I'd like to put in the form of a message this morning. In Genesis 18 and verse 25. Genesis 18 and verse 25. That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. And that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. And he's talking to the Lord here. And he asked him, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Abraham looked to the Lord and he said, Lord, you're going to destroy this city over here and you're going to do that. And he said, you're the judge of all the earth. Won't you do right? I want to answer that question this morning and bring you a message on the subject, God will do right. God will do right. You don't have to worry about it. God will do right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being here. Thank you for all that you've done for us. We pray that you'll forgive us of all of our sins. We thank you for the opportunity of reading your precious holy word. Our Father, we pray that you'll illuminate our mind, loose our tongue, that we may be able to declare the word of God without fear, without favor, and without compromise this morning. Father, bless the reading of the word of God. Bless the preaching. Help every person here to listen and hear what you'd have us to hear. And Lord, save that one which is lost. We'll praise you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you wouldn't think a preacher would have to preach on a subject like this and have to tell people that God will do right. It looks like people would automatically accept the fact that God... You know what I'm saying when I say God? I'm talking about Almighty. I'm talking about all-powerful, all-knowing, all-wise. It looks like that we would accept the fact for granted that God would do right. But somehow or another, in our human minds, I have to preach this message because of two reasons. I have to preach a message on God will do right, first of all, because people are brazen. People are so... blatant in their iniquity, so full of pride and haughtiness, and so full of their self and their ego, that they will actually sometimes point an accusing finger at God as if God had made a mistake. I've seen it happen, and I guess a preacher sees this happen most of the time when somebody dies. And sometimes when somebody dies in the family, you're hurt real bad. Maybe a baby, especially a little baby or a little child who's innocent, and they die. And I've had them ask me, they'd say, "Preacher, why did God do this? God, He shouldn't have took my kid. He should have took..." And I say, "Now, wait a minute. You're not accusing God of doing wrong, are you?" And it's almost as if they said, "God, if you had any sense, you wouldn't have took my baby. You wouldn't have took my daddy, my husband, or my wife, or my boy, or my girl." I want to submit to you this morning, God will do the right thing. You don't ever have to question whether God will do the right thing. Because people are brazen. Not only that, because we're living in a day that has, in the last 20 years, has begun to question everything. We question everything in this generation. Ours is the generation of "let's try something that ain't never been tried before." Just because it's old doesn't mean that it's good, is the philosophy of our generation. The old values of right and wrong. The hippie generation come out in the late 60s and they said, "Who says we have to get married? We'll just shack up like dogs do, you know. Just get them another dog and go to the dog lot. We'll do like dogs and just shack up and not have to marry and get a piece of paper and all of that. Who says that we have to do it the way it's always been done? Who says that it's bad to tell a lie in every circumstance? Who says it? You see it in music, you see it in art, you see it in everything. We are questioning the old-fashioned values in music. Did you know that I can remember, and I ain't that old, but I can remember when music had a tune. I remember that. I remember before I got saved, even rock and roll, it had an actual tune that it followed. It had a melody, and they sung parts. Somebody would sing lead when the Beatles first came out. Somebody would sing lead. Somebody would sing tenor. Somebody would sing an alto or soprano or bass, and they would harmonize, and harmonize. Their voices would go like this, you know. And boy, it would make harmony, and it sounded like a tune, and you could catch on to it. We have lived to see the day that everything is discord. I mean, you think, and you can make $1 million off that nowadays. I mean, the wilder the better, brother. It don't even have to make any sense. It doesn't have to even. Somebody said one time that classical music is something that you listen to, keep listening to, hoping it's going to turn into a tune. But did you know that a lot of it nowadays, it's distorted. And things, you see it in the way people dress. Used to, if you wore something light blue, you'd wear something dark blue. If you wore something check, you'd wear something plain. Now you can wear checks and stripes and orange and green and blue. And what we're doing, we're trying to mix everything together and say, no, we don't go by any rules anymore. We just do whatever turns us on. Art. Have you seen modern art? A man used to have a little talent to be an artist. I was driving down the street in a certain city not long ago, and there was this big old huge thing that looked like brass. It looked like old scrap metal. And it went way around, looks like a big giant worm. It was about that big around. It looked like something that fell out of the space shuttle and landed on the lawn in the middle of that town. And I thought, what is that piece of junk? And somebody said, that is modern art. You've got to be able to appreciate it, you know. You've got to be about space down and say, and then just take office-looking piece of old trash right out of the junkyard and put it on something, and people say, oh, isn't that beautiful? And carry it in the big fancy houses. Have you noticed that? In a modern art exhibit not long ago, there was a painting that fell, and somebody put it back up, and it hung upside down for 6 weeks before anybody even noticed it. Now, brother, you know what that means? That means we're in a dream world. I heard about these two little fellows here in a modern art exhibit, and they looked up this big abstract painting, you know, which looks like you just took a bunch of paint and mixed it up and rired back and just slung it up against the wall. And one of them said, let's get out of here before they say we done it. I mean, they're selling that stuff, brother. And they call that modern art. Music's the same way. And in this generation, people are saying, well, you old timers, you've always said God's right and God's good and God's holy. Who says God's holy?
Who says God's always right? Well, I tell you, brother, I say God is always right. Amen? I say God's always right, and if me or you disagree with Him, we're wrong, and God is right. I'm on the witness stand for Him this morning. I'm witnessing for Him that He's always right. Brother Danny ain't always right. You've been coming here to church 6 months. You found that out probably the first 2 weeks. And I found out that you're not always right. But I tell you, brother, we all ought to learn that God is always right. He's always right. God's always right. I tell you, He knows everything. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows everything. Let me assure you that God is, always right. We don't know everything, but He knows everything. I heard about a boy in his college, and he's getting ready to go home for the Christmas holidays, and they was giving some exams. And that old boy, he had a hard exam, and he hadn't studied. And he wrote down at the bottom of his paper, he wrote, "Only God knows the answer to these questions. Merry Christmas." And turned it in. And boy, his teacher wrote, graded the papers, and passed them back out. And it said, "God gets 100, you get 0. Happy New Year." I tell you, brother, that's the truth. Brother, we don't know the answer to a lot of questions, but God knows every one of them. He knows them all. He gets 100. We might get 0, but He gets 100. You might make 75, but He gets 100. Brother, He makes 100 on every test. He's never missed a question. He is God, and He will always do right. I'll guarantee you there's people sitting in front of me this morning that you think somewhere down the road God made a mistake in your life. Now, you wouldn't admit it. You're not going to stand up. You're not brave enough to stand up and say, "Well, I just don't think the Lord should have done this." But deep down inside, you've got a gripe with God about 10 years ago or 5 or 6 years ago. And something happened in your life and you thought surely He had made a mistake. And you kind of got bitter towards Him. And you think, "Well, if He loves me so much, why did this have to happen? If God's so great and loving, how come I pray and nothing happened? If God's so loving, why'd my family break up? If God's so loving, why'd my boy get cancer? If God's so loving, why'd I lose my job?" And you're almost a pointing, accusing finger at the Almighty. Let me tell you this morning, He knows the end from the beginning, and you can rest assured, brother, you can bet your life and your soul on it, God Almighty always does the right thing. There's been times in history when God done the right thing. God did right when He cast Lucifer out of heaven. Do you know that? Over in Isaiah 14, you read it. You won't take time to turn there this morning. But Jesus said in Luke 10, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." God did right when He cast the devil out of heaven. A lot of people don't understand why the devil was created. Why there even is a devil. Let's say if God knew all this bad stuff was going to happen, why did God even make the devil to begin with? I ain't what I'm preaching on this morning, but I'll give it to you right briefly. The Lord made everything. He even made the devil, but He did not make him the devil. He became the devil after God created him perfect in His ways. Don't ever forget that. He became the devil as He got sin into his heart. He was created as a perfect cherub. Now, if you were with us when we studied the enemy series, you know that a cherub is not an angel, and an angel is not a cherub. Cherubs are different kind of creatures, and in Revelation chapter 4, don't turn to it, we ain't got time, I'm going to have to hurry along with this. You see these creatures up in heaven, and they have four faces. One face is like a lion, one face is like a calf, one face is like a man, and another face is like an eagle. Now listen carefully. The lion represents wild animals. The calf represents domestic or tame animals. The man's face represents humanity, of course. And the eagle's face represents the fouled wings of the air. There's one class missing of those four-faced cherubs. There's the wild animals, there's the tame animals, there's the fowls, and there's human. There's a class missing, and that is reptiles, the amphibians. And the reptile class was the fifth cherub whom the Lord cast out of heaven, and there's where the devil came from, and that's why there's no reptile class mentioned in Revelation 4 around the throne of God. But the devil, of course, exalted himself. His name was Lucifer, L-U-C. That's where the word luck comes from, good luck and bad luck, and exalting himself, and God created him as a cherub. Now listen to this real careful. Here we'll explain something that the United Nations knows nothing about. Here it is in a nutshell. God Almighty was perfect in heaven. He knew everything, could do anything. God, one of His attributes is love. For God to exercise His love, there must be something to love. So He creates a human being. And He said, I'm going to exercise my love toward that human being. For it to be perfect love, that love must be returned. You listening? God's the first party. To exercise love, He creates a second party in order that He could show His love toward that second party. Now, so that second party could return that love, it had to be a free choice. He could not just make that man and say, you love me regardless. You love me irregardless of what takes place. You have to love me, or it wouldn't have been love. It would have been servitude. It would have been a forced servant. So God creates that second party, and He says, I've got to give him a choice. So God lets a third party enter the scene and gives that man a choice whether he wants to love evil or love good. And so he chooses God, and God has his love returned. That's why the devil had to come into the picture in order to give me and you a choice. If there were no devil, no sin, we would have no choice except to serve God. But God wants us to serve Him because of who He is, and we love Him, and we have a choice and choose Him over the devil. So a cherub becomes a serpent, and becomes a dragon, and deceives the whole world, and God cast him out of heaven. But when God looked down and saw him exalting himself, He says, you're out. And brother, he cast him down from the third heaven down to the second. And then he goes down from the second heaven to the first in the book of Revelation. And then finally from the first heaven on down to the earth there in the tribulation, the great time of the wrath of God. But God did right when he cast Lucifer out of heaven. I'm telling you this morning, he always does right. Not only that, God did right when he made Adam and Eve leave the Garden of Eden. God done the right thing there. Adam and Eve sinned, of course. She was tempted by the devil. And the devil, of course, come along and flattered Eve. And boy, here's the woman. She's standing down there by the tree. Now the Lord told them, he said, you can eat of all the trees of the garden except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and you can't eat that tree. All right, the devil comes along. He says, Eve, how about having a bite of this? She says, no, sir, we're not supposed to eat that. He said, now listen here, sister. You've been going by them old dumb rules long enough. Don't you want to be liberated? And she says, well, it would feel good just to reach out there and get it. He said, but I'm not supposed to. Oh, ain't you tired of obeying God and trying to do what Adam says all the time? You need to be liberated, sister. Let's start a new movement right now, and we'll name it ERA. And Eve says, well, what does that mean? She says, you're going to find out right now in a minute. It means Eve ruins Adam. And she says, well, I shouldn't do that. And the devil says, oh, come on, man. You've been going by them old dumb rules long enough. Oh, express yourself, honey. I mean, do your thing, Sister Eve. Don't be going by these old stupid rules all your life. Let yourself go. Do what you want to do. That sound like anybody you met lately?
I know a lot of women the devil's telling that to nowadays. And they're like the fox and the crow. You ever read the story of the fox and the crow? The crow one day had a big piece of cheese. And he was flying along with that big piece of cheese, and the fox looked up and seen him and said, I shall have cheese for dinner. And so the crow flew over here and perched up on a big limb, and the old sly fox come over and looked up the crow and said, well, hello, Miss Crow. Miss Crow just looked down and had that big piece of cheese in her mouth. He said, Miss Crow, you have such beautiful feathers. Oh, it's magnificent the way your feet grip that limb. And your eyes are so wonderful. Looking, and she's just eating that up. And he says, I just love to hear you sing, Mrs. Crow. I love that
call that you give. And he said, I just like to hear. And so that dumb crow was sitting there just eating that up and a swelling up with pride and flattery. And about that time he said, would you just sing me one? Just sing me one good. And she went, ah! And the cheese fell out of her mouth. And he picked it up and grabbed that cheese and started walking off. And she was, of course, frustrated. And he looked back and he told her, he said, the next time you better watch out. When somebody starts bragging on you, hold your tongue. And I'm telling you something this morning, folks. You better watch these people that comes up to you bragging on you, telling you what a great person you could be. You ever met this crowd that they come running up to you and say, you could be a millionaire. You better tell them to get lost. When I was about 19 years old, there's two little fellas come up to me out here at the bank. And they said, somebody told them my name or something. And they said, listen, young man, you're this and you're that. By the time you're 35, and I'll tell you what they're trying to get me to do. They're trying to get me to sell Amway. And nothing personal. You know, if you sell, everybody needs a little soap now and then and stuff. But you know what them guys told me? They said, you can be a millionaire by the time you're 30. Said, I'll guarantee. And they're just talking to me. And I got to looking at them. And they're driving a beat-up car. And they was like in their 40s, and their car looked like it was about to fall apart. They didn't look like millionaires to me. Now, you know, I'd have been a fool to believe that stuff. I was like, hey, man, why ain't you a millionaire? The truth is, you're wanting me to go to work so I can make you more money. Isn't that about right? Now, they said, oh, we want to help you. Baloney, man. You're wanting to make money off me. That's like a bald-headed barber selling somebody something that'll grow hair on their head. You ever heard of that? I said, this man brought something home. Boy, this'll do it, honey. This'll do it. Slick me back with this, you know. And he said, you know, I never even thought, but I noticed that barber, he never had a hair on his head. Now, the devil will flatter you. That's how he got Eve to sin. He'll flatter you. He'll tell you what a great person you are. Oh, you're too good to come to this old-fashioned church where they shout, run the aisle. Some of you people here a while ago, you thought, oh, Lord, what have I got into? I hope nobody don't see my car sitting out there. Now, that's good for you, man. You ain't as big a shot as you think you are. You're made out of the same old stuff we are, and you just well accept it, brother. Without God, you're nothing, I'm nothing, and you're a fool to let the devil brag on you and flatter you when he's getting ready to stab you in the back. Well, they sinned. God pronounced them out of the Garden of Eden and put the flaming sword there. You know why he did? You know why God made Adam and Eve leave? You say that because they sinned. Yeah, but why did he make them leave? He said they'd put forth their hand and take forth of the tree of life and live forever. If Adam and Eve had went over and eaten that tree of life, they'd have still been living in their sinful condition. Son, you talk about a mess. What if everybody in the human race had eternal life in their sinful condition? Now, buddy, you talk about them. Adam and Eve would still be living. Saul would be alive right now. Hitler would be somewhere in the world right now if God hadn't run Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. Now, Saul, what if Hitler was alive right now? What would he think about these computers, brother? What if Mussolini was somewhere in the world and John Dillinger and Machine Gun Kelly and Pretty Boy Floyd, you know, and Bonnie and Clyde and all of them. Me and you probably wouldn't be very healthy, would we? It's hard to say we wouldn't be alive, but we would. Everybody who's ever lived would still be alive. What a mess! Eternal life in that sinful condition. You know what I say? I say God done right. God did right when he ran Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. Not only that, God did right when he destroyed the old world. It repented the Lord that he had made man. Now, to make a long story short, God looked down in Noah's day, and you know what they were doing? They were swapping wives. They were throwing their keys, all their camel keys, in a basket and said, "We got all our camels parked out here and we're going to shake a basket up a little while. Whoever keys and whoever ring you pick out, you go home and spend the night with that on that camel tonight." And boy, they were having their swinging singles parties and they were living like the devil. They paid no attention to right and wrong. They just done whatever turned them on. And God made a covenant with Noah. He said, "I've had it up to here with this outfit. I'm going to destroy them." And he said, "You build a boat." He told Noah how to build the boat. Noah built the boat. God drowned the wicked world. And God let it start all over. Let the boat float. And nearly a year, over a year, Noah and his family stayed safe within the ark. I say this morning, God did right. God done the right thing by destroying the old world. Many people, as the floodwaters were coming up, probably shook their fist in heaven and cursed God and said, "We don't deserve this. We don't deserve this. It's not right for you to drown us like this." But God looked down from heaven and said, "I've done right. I've done right. You had your chance to repent. You had your chance to get right." Not only that, God done right when He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. God always punishes sex sins. You listening? God always punishes sexual sins. There's a certain penalty that carries among sexual sins, and that's why America is in trouble with God this morning, because all they do on television from daylight till dark and on the video movies and on the porn movies in the theaters is go to bed, go to bed, go to bed, and God's going to destroy this nation. You mark it down. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because they turned queer. They'd fool around so long, boys wasn't even interested in girls no more. They was interested in other boys. That's why you don't hear it talked too much. That's why you don't hear too much about the boys right here in McDowell County dying with AIDS. It's hush hush. It's never in the paper. It's never on the radio. And I'm not saying it should be. I don't want to embarrass the family. I don't want to hurt nobody. But somebody needs to warn our young generation. You don't fool around with sin like that and get by with it. And I know that I'm getting myself in trouble for talking like that. Somebody probably called me this week and heard about it and cussed me out. But that Lord knows the only reason I mention stuff like that is to help some of these kids to know that it's not the big gay happy lifestyle they present it to you on television and radio. Bunch of baloney is what it is. You know what they call that on the police records up until a few years ago? Sodomy! Because of Sodom and Gomorrah. God said in 2 Peter, He turned them into ashes and condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example. They ought to take a film of Sodom and Gomorrah and show God's judgment on homosexuality and show it in every public school in America, because God said that happened for an example to them that should after live ungodly. You know why God let fire come out of heaven and destroy those cities? To show people down through the years that's not the right way to go. Be honest with you. There's something bad wrong with a boy that would rather look at a boy than a girl. My soul, there's no comparison. Son, you like boys better than you do girls. You're sick and you're noggin', man. You're blind. An old hairy-legged, bony. You know them boys running out here on the beach, their legs look like a rope with a knot tied in it. I'm like a pair of post-hole diggers, man, coming out. There's something wrong with a boy that likes something like that. I feel sorry for you girls, because that's all you got to like. Shoo, old stinking, sweaty, nasty thing. Old hairy arms, underarms. Lord, knock you down. If they didn't take a bath, they'd smell like a horse that's been shot and dead, laying in the field for a week. You say, "What's wrong, preacher?" Perversion. Perversion. One sin leads to another sin. Sins like this. You do one sin, you start cussing when you're in the third and fourth grade. And then you start telling dirt, then you look at dirty books. And then you start talking to the opposite sex. And then you start doing it. Then you go into a regular old wickedness and fornication and stuff. Then you're drinking, then you're on drugs. Then it takes a step further to satisfy you. Then you're in the homosexuality. Then you're in the drugs. And then you know what the last step is? Suicide. There's a step down to hell, brother. And the devil, every time you take a step, that step won't satisfy you very long. You'll want to take another step.
God did right when He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. You know what Sodom's sin was? Pride, bread, and idleness. It's all laid off work and drawing unemployment. They eat all the time, and they thought there's something. That's what turns a nation into queers.
I'll say it again. They're out of work and don't work. And brother, a man that don't work, there's no telling what he'll turn into. The Bible said if a man won't work, that man ought not to eat.
And one of the curses of our generation is we've got a generation of young people that ain't never had to work and won't work. You know what I've noticed when we come up here and have work days? The older they are, the more work they'll do. We got 50 and 60 year old men in this church can outwork these 18, 19 year old boys. There's something wrong with our nation, folks. Won't work. Won't work. Honey, make up your bed. Get them to the hall. We'll call the social services on you for. Their stocking for Christmas and one pair of shoes a year and just wore them in the wintertime and walked 5 miles to school in the snow, you know, got up at 4 o'clock and fed the cows and milked them and got the eggs in and come home and worked in the garden and went to bed at 9 o'clock. Our generation thinks we're being persecuted if we don't have our own car when we're 16 to drive to high school. Something wrong. God done right when He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because they're lazy and they eat all the time and they thought there's hot stuff. You know, back about 40 years ago, I don't know if I'll get the rest of this message or not, but I'm just going to give you what the Lord gives me. Back about 40 years ago, in the 1930s, you know who, you go into people's houses and you know whose picture they had on the wall? Presidents. And every little boy sat at his mama's knee and said, "Now, son, you want to be a president when you grow up." It was every mama's dream that her boy would grow up and be the president of the United States. Nowadays, you go in their rooms and look, see what's on the wall. Lord, do you want to go into a nightmare, son? It looks like a Twilight Zone, brother. It looks like Frankenstein come back to life. You know why? Because Prince and Michael Jackson and David Bowie and David Lee Roth and Bon Jovi or Johnny Bobby or whatever his name is making all the money, brother. And them kids say, when I grow up, I'm going to be like them so I can be rich and make all the money. I'll tell you what, son, we're in pitiful shape in this nation when a little pervert like Prince don't weigh 90 pounds soaking wet, come out and wiggle all over the stage and make about 10 times more than the President of the United States talking vulgar and talking about raping your daughters. I can't hear you. I'm telling you this morning, folks, God does right when He destroys that kind of mess. God does right. You say, "Well, my New Year's resolution was to come to church every Sunday, but I ain't coming back here." I reckon you got enough to do you until 1988 comes along. So I ain't coming back. I'm loading your wagon while you're here. I figured you probably wouldn't come back. You know why? Because you can't take it. I'm telling you this morning, God done right. God done right when He required His Son to die on Calvary. He done right. It was not a mistake. As a man told me one time, he said Jesus did not know He was going to die on the cross. This guy claimed to be a Christian. He said, these plans got all upset and he didn't know what was going to happen. I said, "Hey man, God Almighty, before the foundation of the world, ordained that thing. It was predetermined, predestined that God's Son would die and pay the ransom for sin. God done the right thing." Before I got saved, I used to listen to that song, the rock opera, Jesus Christ Superstar. It was real popular right before I got saved. And I used to listen to the tape. I had it on tape, and it would say, "Jesus Christ, Superstar, Who are you? Over and over and over. And they would question in there. They would question the Lord's decision. And it would say, if you're so great and everything, why did you come at such a backward time in such a strange place in Bethlehem?
Why did you come 2,000 years ago? Why didn't you come now so us modern day 20th century enlightened Americans could put you on TV? Why did you come back out of Bethlehem, a little no place? Why didn't you come to Rome or United States or Washington, D.C.?
I'm saying here this morning, God done right, brother.
He come when He's supposed to come. He come where He was supposed to come. He come how He was supposed to come. He did what He was supposed to do. He walked up a hill, bore our sins, shed His blood. God done right. Never made a mistake.
Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And that's why people are lost this morning. After Jesus done what He done for them. I've been reading Aesop's Fables. That's where I got that story about the fox and the crow a while ago. There's another story in there about the gardener and his dog.
And those are little stories with great morals in them. My soul, you can get to shouting reading them things. Every one of them is spiritual. I read one that talked about the gardener and his dog. And it said the gardener was out working in the yard one day and his dog fell in the well. And he's down the bottom of the well. Couldn't get out. So he went over there and got a rope and somehow got down there and got around the dog's neck, around his chest, around his leg, started pulling him up out of the well. And we got him right at the top of the well. The little wretch reached over and bit his master's hand. And the master looked back at him and he said, well, if after your master pets you and bless you and feeds you, if that's the way your gratitude is and that's your attitude, boom. And dropped him back down and said, get your own self out of the well. Anybody know the moral of that story?
What is it?
Bite the hand that feeds you. That's right. He said, they bite the hand that feeds them. And after God's been good to you, let His Son die for you, fed you. You know where you got your clothes? God provided them for you. You know who gave us this building? God did. You know who gives you food? God does. You know who gives you air to breathe? God does. You know who let His Son die for you? God did. And God will allow you to be lost and go to hell if you bite the hand that feeds you.
That's the last thing I want to say this morning. God will do right when He casts sinners into hell.
Man is without excuse. One day at the great white throne judgment, they'll argue and give reasons for justification, but God will look down and He'll say, open the book. And boy, they'll open that big book, and if your name ain't in that book, God's going to cast you into hell. And He'll do right when He does it. You say, well, it's just not fair, not fair. You point your finger at Him and see where it gets you. You say, I don't deserve to go to hell. You bite the hand that feeds you if you want to accept Jesus as your Savior.
All you'd have to do is get up out of your seat, come down here and get down on your knees and say, God, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry. But you know what? You're so mean and stubborn and so full of pride that you won't do that. And the Lord just drop you down in the well. And I don't mean well.
So, all right, if that's your attitude, get yourself out.
God will do right, and nobody will be able to do anything about it. You can't beat Him. The final trumpet will blow. God will pronounce your doom. Nothing you can say or do will change it. But you can do something about it now.
Now it's like this, friend. Everything God's ever done is right. Everything God's doing now is right. Everything God's going to do will be right. You say, well, it's not fair. I don't deserve this. I don't think a person's going to... You can say that all you want to say it. God's still going to do right. He'll do right. God won't do wrong to keep you out of hell. God won't do wrong if it took everybody out of hell. God won't do wrong. He'll do right. You'll get what's coming to you. Let's stand with our heads bowed.
Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. We're going to sing one verse of some invitational hymn in just a moment. You're not here by accident this morning, my friend. You're here for a reason. You're not here by accident. You're here for a reason. God wants to speak to you and change your life. You may say, preacher, you're right. You're right. God always does the right thing. Preacher, I've allowed bitterness to come in my heart, but I know God does the right thing. This morning I'm coming to that altar before we leave. I'm getting my life right with God. This may be your last chance. You may never, ever, ever, ever hear another preacher again before you drop into hell. It'll be real to you then. It may not be now, but it will be then. Why don't you do something about it? Why don't you say, preacher, I'm coming to that altar this morning. I'm going to get my life right. Our Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Lord, that somebody here would get the message. Lord, I pray that, Lord, I help them to know, Lord, I didn't want to hurt them by preaching hard to them. I want to help them. God, I pray that they'll know that. Help them to be able to accept the truth. Our Father, we pray that you'd bless now this invitation. Do what ought to be done. Save the lost. Reclaim the backsliders. Move in hearts. Help that one that needs to come right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing. God's speaking to your heart. Why don't you join this one on the altar and others that'll come. Make your way down. Get your life right. Will you do it? Come on. Just get out of your seat and come. Come right now. Will you come anywhere right now? Will you come? God's speaking to your heart. We're going to sing one more verse while these are praying. Maybe God's dealing with your heart. One of these days when you say, God, don't throw me in hell. Oh, God, please don't. The Lord will have the angel take him into outer darkness and cast him in the lake of fire, and God will do the right thing. He may not do what you like, but he'll do what's right. We may not agree with it, but it'll be right. God will do right. What's he going to do with you one of these days? Let's sing another verse. Come on. Come on right now. Come on right now.
I am and waiting now.
Come on right now.
To rid my soul.
Come on right now.
Of one dark
bond. God will do right, friend. I guarantee it. Against the Lord this morning, and you're mad at him for something to happen? Well, this shouldn't happen. I don't see why it has to be this way. Why is this? What's wrong with this? What's wrong with that? The truth is, you're mad at God and you don't think he's doing right. You better get it through your head. He knows what he's doing. He'll help you if you'll let him. But you got to agree with him. You got to agree with him. You've got to. Let's bow our heads. We're going to have a word of prayer with these on the altar while the musicians play. God may be dealing with somebody's heart here this morning. Have you got a controversy with the Lord this morning? Are you and him battling it out? Is your will going against his will? You say, well, I want to do this. God wants me to do that. You having that struggle? He's right. You're wrong. My will goes one way and his goes another. He's right, I'm wrong. He's right. He's right. His Bible's right. His Spirit's right. His Word is right. He's right. Father, do what ought to be done. Lord, you know the need here. Our Father, we pray the Holy Ghost of God move over this congregation right now. Touch us, O Lord, we ask. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I tell you what. I hope that you thought out a little bit. We'll try to have it warmer in here by tonight. Youth choir, 5:30. 5:30, youth choir, sharp. All the young people, everybody else, 7 o'clock. Come praying. Come expecting the Lord to do something in our lives. You're dismissed. Good day. Lord bless you.